I want you to take your Bibles this morning and go with us to the book of Genesis one more time. And we're picking up in chapter 37 this morning, Genesis chapter 37. We've spent the last 2 weeks taking a look at the life of Joseph. We began from the time that he was born, and we picked up till he was 17 years old last week. And it's no secret now, because we looked at in depth at it the last 2 weeks, that Joseph was born and raised up in a very dysfunctional home environment. But yet Joseph still was devoted and dedicated to God and for serving the Lord. And folks, you and I today can rest assured in God's promises that He will give us the grace that's needed to overcome anything that the old devil has for us in this life. And I'm glad that God makes us victorious in Christ. And I want you to look in chapter 37. We're going to begin reading in verse 12 this morning, and we're going to read down through the end of the chapter and take a look at what happens to Joseph next. If you found your place in the Word of God, we'd ask you to stand this morning and let's honor the reading of God's holy Word. The Bible says, "And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. And then there passed by Midianite merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, The child is not, and I whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it, and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, and captain of the guard. Let's pray this morning. God, I thank you for allowing us once again to come into your presence. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that by your blood we've been washed and cleansed from our sin. God, we are on our way to heaven today, and it's all but by the blood of Jesus. But God, there may be someone here today that does not know Christ as Savior and Lord. And God, I pray that they might understand without a doubt this morning that God, unless they're washed in the blood of Jesus, Lord, you'll have no part with them. Lord, I pray, let the message go forth into their heart today, Lord. And I pray that you'd bring old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction into their soul today. That God, that they might see their shape that they're in and the road that they're traveling and where it's going to end up. And God, that they might turn today and come to Jesus and repent of their sins and be saved. And God, I pray that you might help us as your children, God, that we look at the life of Joseph and see, Lord, the importance of a steadfast faith, God, so we can live victorious in this life until the day that you'd call us home. Thank you for our visitors that are here today. God, it's a blessing to have them. Lord, I pray that you might bless them in abundance for being with us today. And God, we'll not fail to praise you and honor you because you're worthy. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. You know, when the dreams of our lives are shattered, many times it leaves us devastated, confused at times, and we might be tempted to think that there are times when God has forgotten us. And you know what? There are times that not only do we think God's forgotten us, but we think God has forgotten about the dreams that we've had in life. And then sometimes we think God has forgotten about the promises that He made to us many times in His Word, and those things where we know that we can claim. And you know what? I don't wonder at some time maybe that Joseph, when he was laying in the pit there, wondered about whether or not God had forgotten him or not. But we don't read that in here. But, you know, as we look in the next chapter, in this chapter of Joseph's life, we're going to quickly learn that life at times is incredibly unfair. You think about what Joseph had to endure growing up just in that dysfunctional family and dealing with that lying daddy of his and his mama dying, giving birth unto his next brother and all of the dysfunctionalness of those boys above him, and then the fact of his sister being raped and all the things that Joseph saw and all that Joseph went through and his grandfather Laban not wanting anything to do with the family anymore and all the stuff that went on in his life. But yet Joseph overcame every bit of that only to reach a point where his brothers traded him in. And folks, you think about that. Life just simply is unfair. Where was God in all of this? And many times we look at the trials and the burdens and heartaches of our life and the challenges we go through, and we might ask the question, where is God in all of this? Well, can I remind you today, church, that God promised you and I that He would never leave us. He would never forsake us. And even when we're down into the pits of life and it seems like that it's dry as it can be, folks, can I tell you today that God is even in the pit with you? I'm glad today that David said, even if I make my bed in hell, he said, thou art with me. I'm glad today to know that Jesus Christ is with me no matter what this life throws at me. And you know, as we look into this, we understand that this chapter teaches us that the dreams of our lives many times can be put to the test. And many times our life just doesn't go as we think it always is going to go. We think sometimes we've got our life mapped out and everything planned and step by step we're going our way. But as Brother Jeff told us in Sunday school this morning in Proverbs chapter 3, it said, trust in the Lord and lean not upon our own understanding. And he said, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Sometimes God has a detour for our lives. And you know what? Sometimes life just doesn't go like we think it ought to. But you know what? As we reach to the end of this life of Joseph, we're going to understand that even when the dreams of our lives seem like they fail, shattered into a million pieces, that God is still in control. I'm glad today that God is still in control. I'm glad He's still on the throne today. I'm glad nobody's ever replaced Him yet. I'm glad He doesn't sleep nor slumber, but He knows exactly what's going on in my life. And you know what? He's been there in advance, and He's taken care of everything that needs to be taken care of. I'm glad today that I can live victoriously. In church today, I want to promise you today on the authority of God's Word that no matter what you're facing right now or what the trial or the heartache of your life is, God is still in control. God has been there before you ever got there, and God has made the way for you to triumph over that today. Now, I want you to look with me as we take a look in this chapter that we read this morning. Look at the important things that God wants to reveal to us today. And the first thing I want you to see today is the command that Joseph followed. The command that Joseph followed. His father Jacob said, "Son, now aren't them boys of mine down there in Shechem taking care of the flocks?" And he said, "I want you to go down there, Joseph. I want you to head on down to Shechem, and I want you to check on those old boys down there to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing." Because you remember in the last sermon we preached on, there was a time when Joseph had to run back and tell his daddy some evil report that they were doing. They weren't doing what he had sent them out to do. And they had gotten sidetracked by something they shouldn't have been involved in. And Joseph come up in his spirit, and he said, "I'm not putting up with this stuff." And he went back and told his dad. Well, now here Jacob, I'm sure, remembers that. He sees the responsibility that Joseph has, and he says, "Joseph, I want you to go down and check on them 10 other boys down there in Shechem, and I want you to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing." Now, I want you to look at the command here of Joseph, because number one, I want you to understand it was based out of concern. It was a command of concern. Jacob was literally concerned about those boys. Now, they didn't necessarily pick up on all this all the time, because Jacob made it very clear that Joseph was his favorite son. And maybe those boys felt like they were left out. Maybe those boys felt like that dad didn't care about them. Maybe those boys were just out doing their own thing, and it didn't matter whether dad paid much of attention to them or not. They weren't necessarily used to it. But can I tell you today that in this right here, we understand Jacob was concerned about the other boys. It was a command that was based as one of concern. But I want you to understand the second thing about this command. It was also one of carelessness as well. It was one of carelessness as well. Here now, Jacob had his best boy here, if you want to call it that, had his most favored boy, and he sends him down to Shechem. Now, if you remember what we talked about earlier, Shechem was the place where Joseph's sister Dinah was raped. And there was when his brothers got together and took the sword and went down to that city of Shechem and slew all the men thereof after they'd been circumcised. And 3 days after that, when they were all sore and they couldn't defend themselves and they were in pain, those two brothers went down there with the sword and slew all those men in Shechem. Can I tell you that the town of Shechem did not like the family of Jacob? But yet here is Jacob sending his favorite boy into danger in the town of Shechem. Can I tell you, sometimes in life we don't always make the best decisions. And old Jacob here, if he wanted to preserve the life of Joseph, he didn't make the best decision. It was a command that was based out of concern. But a lot of times we do things without thinking, and it may have good intentions. It may be based out of a heart of concern, but if we don't pray about it and don't seek God about it, many times if we're not careful, we'll make the wrong decision that puts us in a greater hardship than it was if we'd have waited on God to tell us what we needed to do. So we see here in Jacob, we see that this was a command based out of concern, but it was also a command of carelessness. Now, that was the command that Joseph followed. He was devoted unto his dad. But secondly, now, because this command was a command based out of carelessness, I want you to look at the challenges that Joseph faced. We see the command that Joseph followed. I want you to look at the challenges that Joseph faced. And the first challenge Joseph faced here was the danger of the journey. Folks, if you understand anything about where this was at, Shechem was about 60 miles from the Vale of Hebron, which is where Jacob and Joseph was to start with. So here he had to travel 60 miles. And I don't doubt that word was all over that if you see any of old Jacob and his boys coming in, we're going to do them in. And you know what? Because of all that they did there in Shechem. But yet Jacob sent his boy. And for 60 miles he had to travel to Shechem and he had to endure the danger of the journey. When he got down to Shechem and looking for his brothers weren't even there. And he had to go ask where they were at. They were down in Dothan, which was another 8 miles past that. So now he's going 68 miles by himself to check on these no good brothers. Can I tell you, he had to endure the danger of the journey. But can I tell you today that there was somebody else that endured the danger of the journey. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. I tell you today that somebody, he understood the danger of the journey of leaving heaven's glory. He understood the danger of the journey of coming down and taking on the likeness of flesh. He understood the danger of that journey. But even knowing the danger, he still came and endured the cross for you and I. Hey, can I tell you today that Joseph endured and faced the challenge of the danger of the journey. And secondly, not only did he face the challenge of the danger of the journey, but he faced the challenge of the difficulty of the search. He said in verse number 16, after the man asked him, said, "What seekest thou?" He said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." Here he's now down in Shechem. He's traveled 60 miles. And he's looking around for these 10 boys and these flocks. And he can't find them anywhere. And he asked, the fellow looks at him and sees him wandering all over the fields and says, "Son, what are you looking for out here?" And he says, "I'm looking for my brethren." He said, "Do you know where they're at?" He said, "Yeah, I'll tell you where they were at." They said, "They're heading on down to Dothan." And you know what? He got on anyway. Can I tell you today that the one that came and endured the danger of the journey also comes. And it doesn't matter how difficult the search is. Jesus Christ came to seek you and I. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm reminded that Jesus said, "What about the man that owns 100 sheep? And if one of them stray out of the way, will he not leave the 99 and go searching after the one?" Can I tell you, no matter how difficult the search is, Jesus is searching for you and I. Hey, aren't you glad Jesus found you one day? Somebody said, "Well, I found Jesus. I just searching for God. I searched over at this church and I searched over at that church and I searched here and I searched there until I finally found him." You lied. You didn't bit more search after him. The Bible said no man seeketh after God. Let me tell you something. If he didn't come and search and find you, you'd have never been found. Why are you searching for him? He wasn't lost in the first place. He knows exactly where he's at. Let me tell you something. He came searching for you. He found you in your sin. He found you in the pit of hell. He found you in the miry clay. And aren't you glad when he found you, he loved you so much he wouldn't leave you there. Hallelujah. But he lifted you up out of the miry pit and he washed all of that trash off of you with his own precious blood. Pray. Don't you get tired of people telling you they're searching for God, they just ain't found something to satisfy them yet? Let me tell you something. They're not searching for the right one. They're not searching for the right one. If they'll find God, let me tell you something, if they could find him, they'd be satisfied with him. I tell you right now, God found me one day, and I've been fully satisfied with him ever since. I don't go looking for other things to help me out now. I'm fully satisfied, filled to the top. My cup runneth over, as David said. Aren't you glad today that Jesus meets all of the needs of your soul? Hey. He endured the danger of the journey, and the difficulty of the search, and he endured the distance of the place. That was another challenge he faced, was the distance of the place. 68 miles he had to travel to find those boys. And I tell you today that Jesus will travel as far as he has to travel to make sure he finds you today. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't even know what's going on in my life. Can I tell you right now, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, or where you've been. Jesus Christ is searching for you today. And you might try to run. You might try to hide. But can I tell you, He'll pursue you as well. Let me tell you, there's a lot of folks today that ain't saved and they're running from Jesus. Can I tell you right now, you might think you're running enough to get away from Him, but He's right behind you. Hallelujah. Oh, Jonah thought he could run from God and get away from Him, Brother Brady. And he thought he could take that ship and go on down. And you know what? God raised up a big old fish and a big old whale. It depends on which testament you want to read it out of. And you know what? He raised up that big whale and he swallowed that old prophet. And while he was laying there in the belly of that whale and those gastric juices just eating away at his flesh, he came to his senses and he said, God, if you want me to go to Nineveh, he said, I'll just go. Next thing you know, that old whale come right to the coast and spit him right back out again. You want to know why that is? Because God wasn't far behind him. He thought he'd run and got away from God, but he couldn't get away from it. You can't get away from the grace of God. Hallelujah. It'll overtake you every time. You might as well just give up to it. Hey, he had the challenge of the distance of the journey. Now, we saw the command that Joseph followed. We saw the challenges that Joseph faced. But we also see the callousness Joseph found. The callousness. Now, he went through all that to find them old boys, to make sure they were all right. His daddy was concerned about them boys. And he went 68 miles by himself to try to find them boys to make sure they was all right. And when he got there, did they thank him? No. When he got there, did they say, here, yeah, I bet you're tired from the journey. Here, let's give you a little refreshment. Sit down here. Son, what are you doing way out here? Did they do any of that? No. What did he find? He found callousness in their hearts. What did he find when he got there? He found they were scheming for his death. In verse number 18, when they saw him afar off, tell me this ain't just the opposite of the father looking for that prodigal boy. He said when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Can I tell you that they conspired against Jesus to slay him after he raised up Lazarus from the dead? You'll read in John chapter 11 and verse 53. From that point on, them Pharisees, they connived, they schemed, and did everything they could to get a plot together to destroy Jesus. But can I tell you today that the Bible said no weapon formed against you and I is going to prosper. Aren't you glad today when people want to connive and scheme against you, when the devil comes against you and lays out his plan to destroy your life, that God goes before and he takes care of the situation and he puts his hedge around you? Aren't you glad that the devil can't touch you anymore? Aren't you glad he can't destroy your life anymore? He can't drive you crazy anymore? He can't do any of those things because the power of God and the presence of the Holy Ghost rests on you now. When he got there, they found they were scheming for his death. And not only were they scheming for his death, but they scorned his dreams as well. They scorned his dreams. In verses number 19 and 20, they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. And in verse 20, said, you know what we'll do? We'll throw him down this pit. And then we'll ask the question, what's going to become of his dreams now? We'll see if his dreams come true. You remember that dream? Them boys didn't like that dream. They were going to have to bow down to him one day. Even Jacob and his whole family was going to have to bow down to him. And they said, you know what? We'll stop those dreams. We'll throw him in this pit and we'll see what comes of his dream. Can I tell you something? A lot of times people don't understand your dreams. A lot of times people don't understand the direction of your life. Can I tell you right now? Let me tell you something. Listen unto God yourself, because it's your life that's hanging in the balance. It's your dreams right now. And let me tell you something. There's people sometimes won't understand your dreams. And the devil, he's going to come against your dreams. And it may seem like your dreams are shattered. But can I tell you right now, if God has promised it, in him the promises of God are yea and amen. Not one word has ever failed. Hallelujah. And if he's promised you, you can guarantee it will come to pass. What has God promised you in his word? Hey, it will come to pass. They scorned his dreams. Thirdly, they stole his dignity. Verses 23 and 24. The Bible says this, it come to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him, cast him into a pit. The pit didn't even have any water in it. You know what they did? They stole his dignity right off of him. That was that coat that Joseph made for him, or that Jacob made for him. That coat of many colors. It was a long coat, as we said last week. Long sleeves all the way down to the feet, of many colors, showing royalty, showing as a chieftain of the family, showing one of authority in that family. And you know what? That was something special for Joseph. That was literally who he was now. He wore that coat representing who he was in his father's eyes. And you know what they did? They stripped that coat off of him. They tried to steal his dignity away from him. They tried to steal his calling off his life. You ever had anybody try to come steal the calling off your life? Try to steal the dignity right out from under you? Let me tell you something. The old devil will raise up. Sometimes he'll raise up people that try to steal things off of you. But can I tell you right now, the devil's just a waster and a destroyer. And if you'll resist the devil, he'll flee from you. I'm glad today to know that the devil can't steal my dignity. He may rip a coat off of me. You know, I may wake up tomorrow and be bankrupt. But I'll tell you right now, brother, he can't steal my joy, brother. He can't steal the peace of God that lives within my heart. He can't steal the assurance to know, brother Jesse, that I'm on my way to heaven. He can't steal the fact of a confidence in my life to know that God shall supply all of my needs. Let me tell you something, the devil can rage all around you, but he can't steal your joy this morning. If you don't have joy, it's not because he stole it, it's because you gave it up. It's because you gave it up. Because the Bible said God will give you fullness of joy. He'll fill you up with joy. What does fullness mean? Does it mean just a little old tiny bit? A lot of folks just want to be happy in life. Well, if I can just be happy, I ought to be happy. And I tell you, happiness is dependent upon your circumstances. If it happens to happen good, you're happy. But if it happens to go bad, you ain't happy no more. It's time as Christians we throw off wanting to be happy and live like we're walking in joy, bless God. Because if we've got joy in our soul, then nothing that comes our way will ever rob us of that. Hey, they stole his dignity. And they not only stole his dignity, but look at this. They sold his destiny. They sold his destiny. Joseph had dreams and they sold them. Joseph had a calling and they sold them. They sold his destiny. Sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. For 20 pieces of silver. This morning I thought I'd check on the price of silver before I come over. And you know what 20 pieces of silver weigh? Weighs 8 ounces. I checked on the market today and got the price of silver. And here's what it amounts to. Let me go back and look at it so I don't get it wrong. I'll tell you what 8 ounces of silver right now today is on the market for. It's $109. They sold this boy and all his dreams and his destiny and his dignity. They sold him for $109. You know what that was? You know what 20 pieces of silver was? In that day and time, it was the price of a servant. Here was a man who come walking in with the robe of prosperity and authority. And before that day was up, he was sold as a slave for the price of a servant. You know what? They sold his destiny. They said, let's see what's going to come of his dreams. They sold his destiny. And there'll be folks today, they'll want to sell you out. They'll want to throw you right under the bus. You know you've been called to be where you're at. You know you've been called to do what you're doing. But there'll be people that'll rise up against you and try to stop your calling. They'll try to rise up against you to stop your destiny. But can I tell you right now, you stand in the authority of God's Word and you say, hey, devil, I ain't moving. I'm not going to stop doing what I've been called to do. They may try to sell me out. They may try to throw me under the bus. But let me tell you something. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. God, you called me to this, and if you called me to this, you'll enable me to do it, and there'll not be a devil in hell ever standing against me to stop me. Aren't you glad today that you can't be stopped in Jesus? Greater, as I said last week. Greater, as I said the week before. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Hey, they tried to sell him out. But you know what? I want you to look at the last thing. After this, we see the course that Joseph followed. We saw the callousness Joseph found, and then we see the course that Joseph followed. Look what happened. First, he was rescued from the plot. Rescued by an unlikely source, though. Them old boys all got together. They said, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Hey, let's throw him in this pit right here and see what's going to happen with his dreams." Old Reuben came back in, heard what they're doing. He said, "Oh no, don't kill the boy. Don't kill the boy. Just go ahead and throw him in the pit." And in the back of his mind, he's saying, "I'll get him out of that pit and I'll get him back to his father." Let me tell you something. The one that laid with his father's concubine, the one that had lost his birth. See, by the way, if you're the firstborn son, you've got the birthright. You've got the authority of the family. But he gave that up when he slept with Jacob's concubine. That's like sleeping with his wife, with his own mother. And he's sleeping with his concubine. When he slept with her, he lost. He forfeited the birthright. He forfeited being number one. That's why Joseph now is walking around with the robe. And here's the very one, Joseph, the very one that reminds him of what he lost. Joseph, the very one that took his authority. Joseph, the very one that stands in opposition to what he could have been. But yet God raised up Reuben and raised a man up who saved Joseph from the plot of murderous brothers. Sometimes God raises somebody up you just don't expect. Sometimes God just raises some, and here's old boy didn't even have no more clout in the family. Here's old boy didn't even have no more authority. Didn't have the respect of anybody anymore. He's laying around with his father's concubine. And you know what? Reuben stands in. Hallelujah. And the Bible even said this. I believe it's in Genesis 42, might be 45. But you know what? Jacob said, "Son, you're as unstable as water." That's what he told Reuben. But here's this old boy. At some point in time that day, God put an anointing in his life. And here was that water just sloshing back and forth. And all of a sudden God just blew in the wind of the Holy Ghost and froze that water into something solid. And he said, "Boys," he said, "don't kill him. Just throw him in this pit." And he's thinking, "I'll get him back. I'll get him back." Can I tell you today, God will protect your life. God will raise people up. God will bring favor your way. And I'm glad today to know that God can make it all happen. When the old devil tries to destroy everything, God will raise somebody up. Hey, he was rescued from the plot. And secondly, he was raised from the pit. He was raised from the pit. You might be here today and are in a pit. In the pit of despair. In the pit of heartache, challenged by the things of this world. And you know what? With old Joseph, he got thrown in that pit. And it was a dry pit. The Bible said there's no water in that pit. Here he traveled 68 miles. How thirsty was this boy now? Tired and worn out and thirsty. And they take him to a pit and throw him into a pit that has no water. And these boys were so calloused that when they threw him in the pit, they walked away from him and sat down and began to eat their lunch, the Bible says. And if you'll read in another place in the Word of God later on in Genesis, you'll find where Joseph was calling out to him while he was down in the pit. And they sat there listening to his calls for help, and they sat there and just ate their lunch. And how many times we seem like we've been in the pit of despair, and we've called out, and we've called out, and we've called out, and called out, and it seems like God's on his lunch break. It seems like God didn't come to the rescue. It seems like God wasn't anywhere near. And here I, nobody cares that I'm going through this. Nobody cares that I'm dealing with this hardship. Nobody cares that I'm falling apart at the seams. And all I got is God, and even God's not even nearby. God's not even listening to me anymore. God's even turned his back off of me. And nobody cares for my soul anymore. Can I tell you, there came a day, hallelujah, when Joseph was raised up out of that pit. And I tell you right now, if you'll hang on long enough, they'll come a day in your life when God all of a sudden will show up on the scene. Hallelujah. I wish I was preaching to somebody this morning. God will show up on the scene, glory, and He'll raise you up out of the pit. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. The Bible says he who was rich became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich, and he was laid in a pit, but God on the third day raised him up out of the pit. If you'll wait on him long enough, he'll raise you up too. He said, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. And hallelujah, as Paul said, he'll raise us up and set us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But you got to hang on. Brother, when the wind stop blowing, you might just have to get an oar. You just might have to get an oar. And you are rowing. And you are rowing. And you are rowing. And the wind, the storm, everything's happening. You're like them disciples on that sea. Fear for your life. And along comes, in the fourth watch of the night, here comes Jesus. He didn't come on the first watch. He didn't come on the second watch. He didn't even come on the third watch. But here he came on the fourth watch. And they looked at him, thought he was a ghost. Begin to be even more afraid. But Jesus called out to him and said, "Be not afraid, it is I." Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come walk on the water." He said, "Come on, Peter, get out of that boat and walk." Peter, come out, step out of that old boat and begin to walk. If you'll wait on God long enough, he'll stop by. It may not be on the first watch. It may not be on the second or third. But at some point in time, God will show up. And he will raise you up out of the pit. Hey, he not only was rescued from the plot, raised from the pit, and lastly and finally, he was released to fulfill his purpose. He was released. You say, released? Released? He come out of the pit and got sold as a slave. Midianites sold him to Ishmaelites. Took him on down to Egypt. Them old boys got 20 pieces of silver. Went home, told Dad a big lie. He's dead. And you know what? Released. What are you talking about? God put him exactly where he wanted him. He was released from the dysfunctionality of that family. He was released from the harshness of his brothers. He was released from all of that mess. And he got sold into Egypt. Yes, it was a place of bondage. But God raised him up and placed him there in Egypt to fulfill his purpose. You may think what you're in right now, there's no way that God could ever, certainly this is not where God wants me at. Let me tell you something, you need to get along with God, because that may be exactly where God wants you at today. And you need to find out what God wants you to do through it, because I'm telling you right now, Joseph was released to fulfill his purpose in life. If he had not been sold into Egypt, Israel would have starved. If Israel would have starved, the Messiah would not come. And if the Messiah would not come, you and I would still be lost in sin today. Oh, hallelujah. Joseph, he seemed like he come out of a pit. And you know what? Maybe he's thinking, all right, them boys are finally getting me out of this pit. And he comes to the top of the pit, and there's all these traitors now standing around him. And you know what? Them old boys said, "There he is, now get him." And they grab him, and they're dragging him off. They're dragging him off to the wagon. And he said, "Hey, guys, what are you doing? Hey, help me out here." And they drag him and put him into them old wagons with the surrounded by the ball. And they take him on down to Egypt, far away from anything he's ever known, far away from the security of Pharaoh, far away from the protection of Jacob, far away from all these things. And you know what? He's now down in Egypt. And you say, how in the world could God do anything with this? Let me tell you something. What the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. It doesn't matter how bad your circumstances of life are. You know what the truth of the matter is? And I can't answer this for you, but I can give you a possibility. No matter how bad your circumstances are right now, that may exactly be where God wants you at. I'd say that again if I get about 5 amens. No matter how bad it is right now in your mess, that may be exactly where God wants you at. because God has something He's going to do in your life. But you know what, folks? Listen, you got to hang on. You got to hang on. You got to hang on. See, I told you, this is the importance of a steadfast faith. You got to hang on. You got to say, God, I'm going to hang on to You. I don't care what comes my way. I don't care how bad it gets. I'm going to purpose in my heart, just like Jesus going to Jerusalem. I got to set my face like a flint, and I'm going to hang on. You hang on. You hang on. And you'll find that God will work miracles in your life. Folks, He did it for Joseph. And we serve a God that was the same then, today, and forevermore. He'll do it in your life. He'll do it in your life. Where are you at right now? What are you facing right now? You may be in the pit experience right now. And you know what? You've about give up on God. And to be honest about it, you know, old Joseph, he wasn't in a pit because of his sin. But you know what? Sin will put you in a pit. You may be in the pit because of your sin right now. If you ever want to come out of that pit, you got to repent. I don't know how else to say that to you. If you ever want to see the light of day out of that pit, you've got to repent. You've got to get your sins under the blood of Jesus. And a lot of folks, let me tell you something here. I preached this some years back. And I'll say it here too. There's folks, they'll be living for the Lord for a while. Saved, I don't doubt. Born again. They're in church, serving God. Maybe they've been there for a few years, for a while, whatever. Something happens in their life. Circumstances, bad decisions, whatever it might be. I don't know. Next thing you know, they fall out of church. You try to talk to them. You try to encourage them. You try to tell them the word. You do it. They just going to do their own thing. They ain't in church for 6 months, year, 2 years, 5 years, everything else. All of a sudden, next thing you know, one day you see them again. And they come in. They want to pick right back up where they left off. Get right back doing the same thing again. Next thing you know, 2 weeks from now, they'll be up in the choir. Month from now, they'll be wanting a Sunday school class. 6 months, they'll be wanting an office somewhere in the church. And never one time repented over anything. Let me tell you something. That ain't the place for you. God says, repent and do the first works. It's time to fall back on your knees and say, God, I am sorry. I did the wrong thing. It is time. And let me tell you something. What the devil wants you to do is he wants you to look at that one's life over here. And they're the reason I'm in the pit. They're the reason that I'm in the mess that I'm in. They're the ones. Can I tell you right now, there ain't nobody that can put you in the pit but you. And let me tell you something right now. Hey, it's time to get right with God. It's time to get it under the blood of Jesus. And then God can rescue you out of the pit. Hey, what about you? Are you in the pit? Are you in the pit now? You can get out of the pit. You can get out of the pit. Because God will rescue you. But you've got to call on Jesus. You've got to call on Jesus. And you know what? He may not come on the first watch. He may not come on the second watch. He might not come on the third watch. But if you'll just hang on. If you'll just hang on. If you'll just have that steadfast faith and hang on, He'll come. He'll come. He's never turned anyone down yet that's ever come to Him. He'll come. Today I ask you, where you stand? You may be here today, lost and undone in your sin. You may say, preacher, life's going great for me right now. You know what? Family's good. Job's good. Everything's working out right. I'm healthy. Bills are paid. What are you talking about? Can I tell you it ain't always going to be that way? It ain't always going to be that way. Your health ain't always going to be good. And there may come a day when your bills may not always get paid. But you know what? Irregardless, your sins can always be forgiven. And you can always have joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. But you've got to come to Him. You've got to repent of your sins. Get under the blood of Jesus. And then there'll be an assurance in your life that God will see you through all the trials and heartaches. And you may be here today and say, "Preacher, I'm saved. But you know what? I'm going through a pit. And you know what? I've tried to blame this pit on everybody. I've tried to blame it on that one. I've tried to blame it. I've even tried to blame it on God." Can I just encourage you right now, stop blaming it on everybody else. Stop blaming it on everybody else. God may have you there because God wants you there. And He may have you there so you'll stop looking at everybody else and turn that mirror around and start looking at yourself. And you know what? You won't ever come out of that pit until you do that. You won't ever get out of the mess you're in until you do that. Folks get bitter on God. Get bitter on God and turn and walk away from God. God did this, God allowed that, and this and that and everything, and just walk away from God. And you know what? God has blessed over the years, and they've walked faithfully with God, and they've served the Lord, but because this happened that they didn't expect, or this happened that they hadn't planned for, or they fell into this or what, next thing you know, they've walked away mad at God and said, "God, I give up on you." Can I tell you right now, stop blaming God. I don't believe I'd want to blame the one that I'm counting on to take me to heaven anyway, do you? That's not a wise thing to do. I want to go to heaven one day. Stop blaming everybody else. And begin to look at your own life. Look at your own life and say, "Hey, am I where I'm supposed to be at right now with God?" If you're not, might be a reason why you're in the pit. Might be a reason you got that bitterness. Might be a reason you're walking around with a lack of faith. Might be a reason that you're blaming everybody else. It's because you're not where you're supposed to be with God. But you know, God can change that in an instant.